Five, four, three, two, one, fire!
You are listening to StMichaelsPod.com. We have taken over control of your iPod or other MP3 listening device. Resistance is futile at this point. God's message will not self-destruct, whether you choose to accept his mission or not. At this time, we recommend that you relax, let go, and let God.
Welcome back. This is Mike Barone from StMichaelsPod.com, and today we have a really special podcast for you. We're going to be talking about Roller Chair Ball, the official game of the third millennium. And I'm joined today by Brandon Locke, who is one of the founding fathers of Roller Chair Ball. And I wanted to just kind of run some questions by him and kind of let you hear exactly how it really is from one of the founding fathers, one of the legends of the game, one of the best players to ever be in a chair or on a horse. Mr. Locke, what can you tell us about the league starting up here at St. Michael's? What do you think of the new league, I guess, starting from a game that you started many years ago? What could you say about maybe some of the teens and the team players about to start on this, to embark on this adventure?
Well, any time that you expand the league, it's a good thing. I'm pretty excited to meet some of these teens. Apparently they've played a few games.
Oh yeah, they've played a few games, all right, and they're pretty darn good.
I'll be the judge of that. And we're really looking forward to getting together this evening and in the future to see how things go up here, see what kind of athletes they have here, and maybe some future professional players.
That brings up an interesting point, because you've actually gone on to implement a professional league at The Ohio State University. How exactly does that feel, and what does the future hold for the professional level of this sport?
Well, you know, professional status is something that very few people get to achieve in any sport, and to do it in the official game of the third millennium is an amazing achievement for anyone.
Absolutely.
And
sure.
I think our league has probably the best players in the world.
Definitely.
I think you're going to see the best athletes in sport, period, in Columbus, Ohio, and you're going to see some amazing role models and just amazing people in general. And to play professional is it's a blessing, and it's a wonderful thing, and we're definitely enjoying it. It's the best of everything right now.
Well, as a founding father, perhaps we could get your thoughts on the game's first reverse snowing ever, as was sadly reported coming from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, where a young Nate Jantz actually reverse snowed for the first time ever in the history of the game, the first and the last ever legal reverse snowing of the game. Maybe you could just say a few words for our listeners.
Let me tell you something. I found out about this probably like a year ago by now, and I was shocked.
We called you the night it happened.
We called me the night it happened, and it was shocking, but at the same time, I was really impressed. I don't know of anybody that would do that. Now I do, unfortunately, but my reactions to that, it was shock, amazement, it was everything that you could, every emotion. I went through every emotion when I found out about that. It was unbelievable. That's all I can say. Unbelievable. I appreciate it, but it's probably the most disgusting thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
Now, when you started this game, Roller Chair Ball, with the Founding Fathers plus Mike 7 years ago, did you ever think it would be the worldwide phenomenon that it is now?
Well, I think when we started, we had an idea of what kind of game we were onto, but I'm not sure if we ever anticipated it being that big of a deal, that involving that much money, that much corporate dealings. And I don't think we had any idea at the time, you know, how things would end up. And to see it grow like this, it's a good thing. You know,
What are your comments on office chair hockey and how Matt Smith from the Real World in New Orleans came from Phoenix, Arizona to St. Francis de Sales, saw roller chair ball, and then suddenly, suspiciously, office chair hockey shows up in Phoenix, Arizona just a few short months or years later?
Well, they're a bunch of punks, obviously. They're a bunch of punks. I think, I haven't looked at all the information, but something seems a little suspicious. I think we may have been ripped off in some way. It made me wonder, why am I not getting money from this? They're a bunch of punks. Like I've said before, I could use other words to describe them, but I won't do that right now. I don't care for them. I don't really like what I see down there, and I think they have a lesser game.
All right, well, while we're on the subject of suspicion and suspicious things happening, maybe you could discuss the assassination attempt that happened a little ways back in the game in the earlier days, and how the accountant was somehow short $35,000, and a couple of kind of suspicious things were going on there. Maybe you could just, give us your side of it, just for the record, so it's on the
record
for you.
We were planning, Block International was planning this chaos party, and Chad Willis was actually in charge of planning it, and Chad was doing the budget for it, and he came to me, and he showed me the budget, and I said, I okayed it, and on further review, you look down at the bottom, and there's $35,000, which he said for, quote, other expenses. At the time, it seemed reasonably trivial, and later on, there was an incident, a mishap, because we don't want to refer to the incident. There was a mishap where I was attacked by Sean Ewing. And
Now here's where a lot of the question kind of comes in, that you were attacked by Sean Ewing. He was your own accountant for Block International. I'm just wondering, like, the feelings you might have felt of betrayal at the time. What was it like for you to live through that?
It was a very horrific moment. It's one of those things where time slows down, and everything just... your whole life goes before your eyes, and you don't know what's going on. And next thing I know, my security was covering me, was rushing me out. I had coke all over the place, the cans all shattered. People are screaming. There's police everywhere. There's bodyguards opening fire on people for no reason. And it was a very, very terrifying ordeal. And it took over a year of investigation to find out, and apparently it was Sean Ewing that was behind a lot of it, and
The thing with Sean is everybody knew that he was angry about the Andrew Wood situation, with Andrew in the 12-step program and then escaping and going over the first and under the second, and just all the craziness that was going on at the time. I mean, I think Sean was off his rocker. I don't know, what do you say about all that?
He wanted to get Wood back, and if you know the whole background story about Andrew Wood with the mental institution.
The 12-step program.
The 12-step program. He listens to Electric Blue, instrumental version, under the first fence, over the second. He needed money. Ewing wanted to get money. The best way to do it was to take out Cotter. And I just happened to be in the way. You can read about it in my book.
How about in Roller Chair Ball Quarterly, when they cover the whole story? Didn't they do an expose in it at some point?
I don't think there's anything in there about that. I don't even know if they actually type any factual things anymore. I think it's just all comedic value. I don't know if they... I think it's a comic magazine now.
Yeah, okay, talk a little bit then about Chad Willis. He was one of the most favored henchmen, and I think actually he was the one that handed you the Coke can that basically saved your life.
See,
right?
Chad left at the end of the game. We were back in the back end zone, and Chad left, and he said, I'm going to go get a beverage real quick. And he goes upstairs, and I'm standing in the end zone. The game's almost over. No one's really paying attention. Chad comes back down. He says, I brought you a Coke. And I say, well, that's great. And he sits it down on the table, and I say, why not walk the 5 extra feet and just hand it to me? And I say, let me have it. And he said, no, it's over on the table. He was trying to get me away. He was trying to get me away. And I walked over. I picked the can up, and I walked back and stood. Next thing I know, Cotter's leaning forward. Now he leans back. The ball goes by his head, hits my can. He was trying to protect me.
Early on, a lot of the coke was mistaken for blood, and there were people,
yes.
There's mayhem everywhere, and once the bodies were pulled from the rubble and stuff, did you find that you maybe in any way soiled yourself or done anything disgusting, especially in your, peckish, girlish fear?
I didn't. I bring the A game. I don't do any of that Jantz stuff. I think that's the man. I don't play that game. I didn't have to soil myself. I felt a little pressure on the prostate gland at the time, but that had nothing to do with the attack.
So, that basically begs the question, and I'm sure people like Nate Jantz are interested in knowing, if you had soiled yourself, even as the coach of the team, would that have been the first official reverse snowing of the game, or you know, where would we be standing on that?
I don't think it would have, because I wasn't playing at the time. But, you know, there was never anything that would ever enter my mind. When you always win, you don't have to worry about ways to fake victories. That's the thing.
But, you know, word on the street had it that you were so afraid that after that particular assassination attempt, you actually went out and did the sparkle dance with Donnie Roberts and the 11-year-old boys. Is there any kind of explanation
for
that?
I have a sweet tooth problem sometimes.
Enough said there, I guess. We'll just kind of go on from that. My question, I guess, for you then is, would you like to comment at all on the Andrew Wood situation and just your thoughts on that in general?
You know, I have had, on occasion, the opportunity to talk to him, and it's a sensitive subject for him. He gets pretty emotional about it, which is probably why he writes a lot of Screamo music.
Screamo? We'd actually heard emo, but, well, I guess it's Screamo.
I'm not exactly sure, but, I mean, from what I've heard, he either misjudged what he was doing, or he wanted the challenge of climbing a fence while swerving to avoid rifle fire. Either that, or, I don't know, he does things for weird reasons, and I really don't know why he did it. I just know it was weird. That's what
okay.
I know.
Okay, well, maybe you could, as a founding father, talk a little bit about the fact that we called it a gentleman's sport, but at the same time, there are, you know, many, many women in the league and many, many women that play roller chair ball. You have Mary the Butcher Walcutt. You have Catherine Gifford of the Demi Rosa Aggies, Katie Fresh, all kinds of women. Maybe talk a little bit to the freshman girls about how they shouldn't fear roller chair ball.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I love women, okay? I'm on record saying that. I love women. Women sometimes love me, but I love women. And
Not to demonstrate the Jedi mind trick exactly, but to show my superiority over you, I'll put words in your mouth by saying you think they're beautiful.
I think they're beautiful.
And you think they smell good.
I think they smell good.
You think they're good for the game.
I think they're good for the game.
Exactly.
And there is, in the sport where you preach finesse and not brute strength, women can be on the same level as men. Few reach that level, but they can be on the same level as men. And when you think of women up to par with dudes, the first that comes to mind is Catherine Gifford. I think she was probably... She's the Jackie Robinson, really, for women, when you look at the league. And after that, you kind of have a drop-off, but there's tons of women that can hold their own, and some are still playing. And the next really big one, well, Megan Grinrod was exceptional. She was a good player. She played at the same level. And I think the next big one after Gifford was Mary Walcutt, and she still plays. She plays in our professional league. She's better than most men, and that's not an exaggeration. And, you know, when women hear that it's a gentleman's game and they think, well, women can't hang with men, you need to watch some of these players play, and after that, it's a clinic on just how good you can be and be a woman in a sport that realistically is dominated by a lot of dudes. But there's definitely room for women in the sport, and there's definitely room for women as superstars in the sport. And all they have to do is learn how to play, learn what their
right.
strengths are,
right.
and make it happen.
Well, pretty good job for our first interview for a podcast for the official game of roller chair ball. Do you have any last words you want to say about it?
Well, I think it's a great sport. It's a great opportunity to get together with some young people and some older people, some good athletes, some great characters, and it's a good way to make some money if you sign with Block.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You know, we've cautioned everybody not to do that. Most everybody in our league, the new league, the younger kids stuff, understand the very dangers of signing with Block. But many of them have decided to sign with Red Star Wheels and Chairs. But, you know, of course, that's because we're more superior. I wanted to just get one last thought from you. You know, what about Donnie Roberts and the Sparkle Dance. You know that apparently you've been doing this quite a bit lately, and you know, what were your thoughts on that?
It's a good way to have fun and to meet a lot of great people, and it's only getting bigger, so you might as well jump on now.
Well, that's a little bit more than I expected there, but okay. Well, that is our first interview with Mr. Brandon Locke here. We want to thank you for being here with us, and we'll be moving right along now and returning people to their first listening enjoyment with stmichaelspod.com. Hope you do come back again and listen more about this wonderful, phenomenal game called Roller Chair Ball, which is used in conjunction with Eucharistic Adoration to bring young teens and young adults into the Catholic Church. Thank you for being with us. This is Mike Barone from stmichaelspod.com. God bless you, take care, and let prayer be your firewall.
Hello, yes, it is very important, yes, that you listen to me now. I say to you this, I say do not copy this. No, unless you ask first permission from Mr. Barone, because Mr. Barone, he loves you very much, but you know, you have to ask his permission to use his material, because it is copyrighted, yes, that's how you say it, very important, because to use it would be a violation of all international copyright laws.